الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى اله واصحابه اجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمه الله تعالى وبركاته. Speaking about the adab of going for Hajj and Umrah. In this section he speaks about the etiquette of going out of the house, what a person should observe when leaving the house. في الخروج من الدار ينبغي إذا هم بالخروج أن يصلي ركعتين، فإذا فرغ رفع يديه ودعا الله سبحانه عن إخلاص صاف ونية صادقة. If a person intends to leave the home to perform Hajj or Umrah or any other journey for that matter, then it is sunnah that a person performs two rak'ahs salah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those are the two rak'ahs of traveling. It is of course sunnah to recite Fatiha in Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun and Fatiha in Qul Huwallahu Ahad in the two rak'ahs. And he should then lift up his hands and make dua to Allah ta'ala with sincerity and with a truthful intention. Because after all, the journey that he's about to set on, it is only through Allah's grace that he's able to go. Allah Ta'ala is the protector, Allah Ta'ala is the one that would allow him to be successful in that journey. So he should make dua to Allah Ta'ala to grant him that. And so it is sunnah to make dua before we leave. Before we leave the house, we should make dua and appeal to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So all the dua that we normally make is Allahumma anta sahibu fi safar. Oh Allah, you are the true companion in this journey. Wal khalifatu fil ahli wal mali wal walad. And you are the one that can look after my family, my wealth and my children. Meaning when he is gone, the one that will protect and look after his family is only Allah. Only Allah can secure it. Allahumma inna nas'aluka fi masirina hadha albirra wa taqwa. Allah, we ask you on this journey of ours to give us righteousness and consciousness of Allah. In other words, any journey that we take, it should be with the intention of increasing in taqwa Allah. Any journey that we take, it should bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and more especially the journey of Hajj and Umrah. وَمِنَ الْعَمَلِ مَا تَرْضَى. We ask you, Ya Allah, to grant us deeds that you will be satisfied with, that you will be pleased with. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من وعثاء السفر. Oh Allah, we ask you to protect us from the obstacles of traveling. وكآبة المنقلب وسوء المنظر في الأهل والمال والولد. And we ask you to protect us from the difficulties of the change of situations. Situations can easily change when a person is on a travel. And we also ask you to protect us from not seeing something which is displeasing as far as our family is concerned and the people that we leave behind. So these are sunnah du'as to make. And as I said, the reason why we make this du'a is that we don't know what can happen on travel. Travel is something that only Allah knows what lies ahead. Everything can be in place, everything can seem fine, but Allah Ta'ala's decree, whatever He decrees will come to pass. And there will be perhaps sometimes challenges that we face. And so we need the help of Allah. We need the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to overcome those challenges. وَإِذَا وَصَلَ عَلَى بَابِ الدَّارِ قَالِ. When he comes to the door of the house where he's leaving now, he should try to recite the dua. بِسْمِ اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. In the name of Allah, we put our trust in Allah. There is no power and strength except that which is with Allah. Allahumma inni lam akhruj ashiran wala batiran wala riya'an wala sum'atan. Say, oh Allah, I'm not leaving my home out of pride or out of arrogance or out of wanting to show off. I'm not leaving for that purpose. بَلْ خَرَجْتُ اِتِّقَاءَ سَخَطِكُ وَاتِّغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِكُ وَقَضَاءَ فَرْضِكُ وَاتِّبَاعَ سُنَّةِ نَبِيِّكَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But I am leaving my home in order to gain your pleasure and satisfaction and to be protected from your wrath and your displeasure. And I'm leaving my home in order to fulfill the duty that I'm about to fulfill, whether it is Hajj or Umrah. This is the reason why I'm leaving. I'm not leaving to show or to make a name for myself or to be arrogant or to show that I've got the money and the wealth to travel. It's got nothing to do with that. A person's focus is only on Allah when he leaves, and that should be throughout his journey, his intention. في الركوب فإذا ركب الراحلة يقول so when a person then goes onto the transport, the vehicle that he's going to be traveling with, then the dua for traveling becomes important. سبحان الذي سخر لنا هذا وما كنا له مقرنين وإنا إلى ربنا لمنقلبون. Basically saying, Allah, praise be to Allah who has afforded us this particular transport and made it easy for us to travel. So again, acknowledging that it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that affords that. Then مهما على نشلا من الأرض في الطريق فيستحب أن يكبر ثلاثا. In their time they used to obviously travel by land. So they used to go up and down the valley. So it is sunnah when you are going up and down, and the camel or the horses are going up and down, to make takbir, to say Allahu Akbar, to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. And I suppose when you are in the air, you also do that when there's turbulence or when there's a bit of, you know, in the aeroplane when it goes a bit up and down. Make takbir, say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Because Allah ta'ala is the greatest, He's the one that secures our safety, our security, etc. And then he goes into explaining the adab of ihram. So according to this journey, he's explaining directly what a person should now then do when you reach the point where you are supposed to don the ihram. Okay, we'll maybe just start with it and complete it tomorrow. So the first one is أن يغتسل وينوي به غسل الإحرام أعني إذا انتهى إلى الميقات الذي يحرم الناس منه ويتمم غسله بالتنظيف ويسرح لحيته ورأسه ويقلم أثاره ويقص شاربه ويستكمل النظافة. So first is cleanliness that takes place before we go into the state of ihram. It is sunnah that we take a ghusl and that we cut our hair, we clip our nails, that we groom ourselves. The same way that we groom ourselves for the day of Jumu'ah or for the day of Eid, we do all of those things before we go into a state of ihram. Also we comb our beards and we do everything else that we normally would do in order to prepare ourselves. Now this ghusl, it can be done either before a person comes to the miqat or it can be done at the miqat. The way that things are nowadays, there are facilities even at the miqat, at Bir Ali. Those of us coming from Medina mostly, so you can stop there and actually put on your ihram and do all the rituals of purification. You can do it at Bir Ali. However, there may be times that it is full, that the zahma is full, it's peak season, then it is also possible to do it at the hotel before leaving. You take the ghusl and everything before you leave the hotel. But of course, you don't go into a state of ihram yet. You just do the ghusl. But you assume the ihram only once you have reached the miqat. And then of course for the males, أن يفارق الثياب المخيطة ويلبس ثوبي الإحرام فيرتدي ويتزر بثوبين أبيضين فالأبيض هو أحب الثياب إلى الله تعالى ويتطيب في ثيابه وبدنه ولا بأس بطيب يبقى جرمه بعد الإحرام. The males of course then once they've taken a bath and the ghusl and all of that, they then get rid of the ordinary clothing that they wear. They will put on two pieces of cloth, the izar and the rida. Rida is the top part, the izar is the bottom part. And it is sunnah, although it is not compulsory, but it's sunnah that it must be white in color. The same applies for Jumu'ah. If a person comes to Jumu'ah, it is more recommended to wear a white robe than to wear any other color. And of course, we'll come to the spiritual side of things. We all know and we are always taught that when a person goes into ihram, why it is two pieces of cloth and why it is white and all of that, it's kind of preparing the person to imagine what it would be like if his kafan is going to be turned around him. Right? What is it going to be like when a person leaves this world? Because the kafan also is only two or three pieces of cloth with no other clothing. Right? So it is kind of a reminder of that event that will eventually take place in our lives when we will have to part from this world. So the entire journey, like when a person leaves for Hajj and Umrah, there's many things on the journey that remind him of the Akhirah, that reminds him of what it is going to be like when he returns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is for the males, they donned in special clothing. And then also in terms of perfume, we know that after a person is in a state of ihram, he's not allowed to wear perfume, put on perfume. But it is actually a sunnah to apply perfume just before a person assumes ihram, before you make niyyah. So once you've done your clothing, taken your ghusl, all of that, it is sunnah at that point actually to put on perfume. And the reason for that is there will be a time now after that that perfume will not be applied. So you apply it just before, right? And so people are worried, so what happens if the smell or the fragrance remain after you are in ihram? Right? There's no problem in that because it was applied before ihram. So even if the smell remains afterwards, there's no problem in that. But the problem would be to apply it after you've made niyyah of ihram. In that case, a penalty must be paid. So that is actually the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to apply, say the Aisha said, that she used to apply perfume on the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just before he made the niyyah for ihram. So whether it's roll-on, whether it is attar, or whether it is any form of perfume or spray that we use, those things are allowed just before assuming ihram. And then of course, after that, before a person makes the niyyah, it is sunnah for the person to make two raka'ats of ihram also. Two raka'ats sunnah for ihram. And then it is sunnah to recite kulli al kafirun, kulli allahu ahad, in the first and second raka'at. This is sunnah. If a person leaves it out, it's not a problem. In fact, if it is at the time when you normally don't make sunnah salah, like after asr for example, or like after fajr, or like at the time of zawal, then in that case you will not make the surah ka'as or sunnah, because it is a sunnah that you should not be making at the time when you are not supposed to make sunnah. In that case, you will leave off the sunnah of two raka'ahs, but you will just make the niyyah of ihram. If it is any other time, outside the times in which it is makruh to make salah, sunnah salah, then you make that sunnah. The mornings after fajr, after the sun has come up, for example, or after zuhr, or after maghrib, or after isha, or in the middle of the night, all of those times are fine to make two raka'ahs of sunnah. So inshallah, we'll speak more tomorrow about the rest of the adab of ihram, before we go into the actual entrance into Makkah and the details that follow there. We were asked to make dua for Firoz's daughter. Firoz is always with us in the masjid here. He's in Port Elizabeth at the moment. So we make dua for his daughter's birthday. Her name is Azra. Allah grant her many more years, inshallah. Khair and barakah, taqwa and iman. Allah preserve and protect her and keep her on the sirat al-mustaqim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم طول لها في عمرها ووسع لها في رزقها ووفقها وإيانا لما تحبه وترضى يا أكرم الأكرمين اللهم بارك لها في حياتها وفي حركاتها وفي سكناتها وبارك لها فيما رزقتها وأنت خير الرازقين اللهم ما قضيت لها من أمر فجعل عاقبته رشدا اللهم اجعلها من عبادك الصالحين اللهم اجعلها من عبادك المتقين اللهم اجعلها وإيانا من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه أولئك الذين هداهم الله وأولئك هم أولو الألباب ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما أولئك يجزون الغرفة بما صبروا ويلقون فيها تحية وسلامة خالدين فيها حسنا مستقرا ومقاما وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.